first step is something that I call comprehensive neuroimmune analysis. It is gathering as much data as possible about what's going on in their child's body. So we do a lot of functional lab testing, stool pathogens, food sensitivities, heavy metals, environmental toxins, genetics. We're going to look at all of this data.
Family life is essential. Jim and I are on a mission to help you live the best one. You'll hear personal stories from thought leaders of strengths and struggles with proven strategies to help you make the most of your 18 summers. I'm your co-host, Jamie Shields.
All right, Dr. Piper Gibson, welcome.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for being here today.
Thanks for being here.
So we're excited to talk to you about your new book, TikTok, that was released in November, and how you, as a parent and a naturopathic doctor, I got that correct, right?
Yes, I am a traditional naturopathic doctor.
Oh, okay. Can you tell me the difference between what would be
a traditional naturopathic versus? A naturopathic physician is a physician, and I am a traditional naturopathic doctor. So my whole goal is to really use what I do in educating parents and families on natural holistic approaches.
Very cool.
Okay, great. We love that.
We are all about that. So that is definitely something that jives with us, and I'm sure a number of people in our audience listening. So this will be a pretty cool conversation.
Mm-hmm. And for those listeners that don't understand naturopathic or holistic, really meaning just a more natural way of accomplishing health, right? Or healing.
Yeah. So I tell people hear the word holistic and they think, oh, they're going to sage me and rub their crystals on me. And I'm like, no, that's not how it is. It really is looking at that whole body connection and then how we use a natural approach to get you back on track.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's how you came about with focusing on this niche of tic issues, right? Tic disorders.
Yeah, absolutely. So my son was diagnosed with a transient neurological tic disorder 11 years ago. And we tried 8 different prescriptions and 10 different doctors. And when the conventional approach pretty much just told us to ignore his symptoms, sweep them under the rug, maybe he would grow out of it someday. Mm. I went back to school to relearn every single thing I thought I knew about health and wellness so that I could help him and get him back on track.
Wow. How old was he when that happened? You said 11 years ago, but how old was
he? He was 6.
Wow. That's a tough, we just had a little guy turn 6 this past week. So they're so excited, so full of energy, but also it's a confusing time. They're taking in and learning so much that.
Well, and he happens to be our one that has some idiopathic stuff. Like he's a toe walker, but it's not mechanical. It's neurological, it's in his somewhere in there. But we find with him, diet and certain supplements make a huge difference. Is that what you are finding? Same result?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. So now he's 17 and we were having a discussion the other night and he knows and he can tell what the foods and the things that he's eating really do to his body and how they really impact his brain. For me, part of that is really teaching people, how do you listen to your body and understand like what is going on? Because I think that's something that so many people are missing. They just don't know how to listen to their body and what their body needs and or wants or doesn't want.
Yeah. So how did you start that with a 6-year-old? Like what was some of the major first moves you made that you saw a real difference on?
Yeah, believe it or not, I think it's easier to change things with the little ones than with the older ones. They are more likely to be super stubborn at that point. One of the first things we really did was focus on diet. How could we get some real, whole, nutritious foods into him? Looking at some of the deficiencies and things that he was missing, how could we supplement those? Making sure that he was getting plenty of movement and exercise, doing activities were really big for us in starting the entire process of helping him to reduce all of those symptoms.
Gotcha.
And is that with the goal in mind of like reducing inflammation? Is that part of, or like, what is the goal with changing the diet? Like what is kind of causing some of these?
Yeah. So there's actually some really good studies out there, newer studies really indicating that tic disorders and Tourette's are really connected to more of an imbalanced immune system. So then we have to look at immune system is imbalanced. What is contributing to that? And so diet is a piece of that and really reducing inflammation, because when you're inflamed, it's not just in your pinky finger. It really is systemic throughout your whole body. So it really does impact the brain. So yes, one of the main goals of diet is to really start to reduce inflammation.
Is there anything else besides reducing inflammation in diet that you went to? Was there exercise or a vitamin therapy or anything like that?
Yeah, all of the above. So I actually am a nutrigenomics specialist. And so one of the big things for us was actually digging into his genetics. And it was a really big game changer for us because we were able to say, okay, these are his genes. This is his roadmap. These are the nutrients and these are the environmental changes that will really help to support his genetics. So we were really able to apply what I like to refer to as genetic nutrition to help in that department. Like, what did he need more of? So we started to apply that. We can look at inflammation and things like that with genetics as well. But exercise, I think, is a huge piece of it. Being able to move, it helps us to make neurotransmitters. It helps us to improve our gut motility, all of these things. So it really was, you know, the diet, the lifestyle, the rest, you making sure he was sleeping well, that really started to make a huge difference for us.
Now you mentioned imbalanced immune system. What are you seeing? This is 11 years in the making for you. Are you noticing that society and the patients that you're seeing are taking more of a trend to this imbalanced immune system? Are you seeing more children presenting these types of symptoms the same way that we're seeing more children with ADD and ADHD and that whole bucket of like inflammation behaviors?
Absolutely. And even the CDC says that things like tics and Tourette's are grossly underdiagnosed. I think that a lot of times kids start out blinking their eyes and parents just, they go to the doctor and like, oh, it's allergies, it's dry eyes, let's take some Zyrtec. And we're not really looking at what's going on deeper in the body. And that kind of progresses. And I'll say that all of the clients that I'm working with, they have several comorbidities that are really inflammatory. So above and beyond the tic disorder, we're looking at OCD and ADHD and all of these things that kind of come in a packaged bundle. But really societal wise, I definitely see that.
We've had other things that we've had to deal with, not tics so much. What is, if they remain undiagnosed or treated, what can that really lead to? Is it more mental or social discomfort? Or what are some of the major things you've seen if you don't address this?
Yeah, you know, so many things. Really, when you have a tic disorder diagnosis, that if you're doing both a motor and a vocal tic, so maybe you're jerking your neck and clapping your hands, but you're also maybe clearing your throat or saying a word consistently, after a year of those kinds of repetitive behaviors, you will get a Tourette's diagnosis. And so that's really a major piece. But the way that conventional medicine looks at it is that tic disorders are purely neurological. And, you know, I really say in my book, I do not agree with that. I think tics are not purely neurological. It really goes above and beyond that. And so most parents that come to me, they've been told the same thing I was. Just ignore it, sweep it under the rug. And eventually, you know, they say maybe they'll grow out of it, but what eventually happens is that most of them end up with a Tourette's diagnosis.
And that's pretty hard on them, I'm sure.
So many layers.
It really is. Yeah.
So how do you find a positive, proactive provider? Like somebody that's really on your team?
You know, I think that was one of the most difficult parts for us and probably the most difficult part for all of the parents I work with because of the way that the conventional approach looks at it. So I tell people there are what we consider PANS and PANDAS specialists out there. The tics are a really big symptom of that. But really looking for somebody who is going to look at a more functional, like how is the body functioning, a more functional, holistic approach. Most people are going to get prescribed a medication. So I think part of it also depends on what goals parents have and kids have. I think it should be, you know, kind of a group effort as far as getting their health back on track. How do we want to approach this?
Are you of the, I'm being in more on the natural path level, it sounds like. Is medication a last resort for you before you try to look at genes and diet and sleep? Is that down the road or is that first approach?
Yeah, you know, had I known then what I know now, there is a really incredible study out of Cincinnati Children's Hospital that flat out says that medications prescribed for tics do not cure tics and that they are prescribed off-label. So meaning that they are FDA-approved drugs being used for an unapproved use. Most of the time, they're things for seizures or blood pressure medication. What the study really found that was pretty astounding is that tic disorder medications rarely reduce symptoms more than 50%. So many parents, that is the first resort. They go into it thinking, I just want to help my kid with these uncontrollable body movements, but not understanding that it may not really reduce symptoms. It may not really be as effective as what we're kind of led to believe. So for me, had I known then what I know now, I definitely would have pushed all of that to the side because it wasn't effective for us and really started with the diet and lifestyle changes.
It's powerful.
Yeah. And do you find that if you, so often you hear you give a medication for one thing and then it causes side effects. So then you have to give another medication for the other side effects. And then you get so far down the road, like you're not certain which ones you're dependent on and which ones you're not dependent on. And then you can't add the supplements because your supplement interacts with one of the five that you're on. I mean, it's just a mess, right? And I think you call that the medicine merry-go-round.
Yeah, it really is the medicine merry-go-round. You know, they will start something. It may work for a hot minute. Then they'll get prescribed something else. And then maybe that works okay, but then they have some ADHD. And there's really some studies out now that are showing that tic disorder medications may cause allergies or increased ADHD. So we're giving them these medications. They're ending up with these additional symptoms. And then we're going to pile on something else to help mitigate those symptoms. So it really ends up being this vicious circle of medication for a lot of these families.
That's really concerning. Unfortunately, I think a lot of things have gone that route. You know, and nothing we approve of. So it's good to see such a natural path solution to this, because anyway, I'd rather go that route. That's just our personal preference. When someone comes to you, let's say they are you just 10, 11 years later, they have a 6 or 7 year old, they're seeing that. What is the general outline of process? I'd love for our listeners to hear just kind of what do you do? Because I've never heard of someone specializing in this. So I'd like to know, like, someone goes in, kind of what's your overall outline strategy or how to
help them live their best life?
Yeah.
So my first step is something that I call comprehensive neuroimmune analysis. And really it is gathering as much data as possible about what's going on in their child's body. So we do a lot of functional lab testing, stool pathogens, food sensitivities, heavy metals, environmental toxins, genetics. We're going to put all of these, most of my clients, we look at over 935 biomarkers. We're going to look at all of this data and really start to say, okay, these are these things that are going on in the body, but how does this connect to their symptoms, their health history? And that's really where this second step comes in, what I call foundational connection, is how do all of these things connect? Because it's not always just apparent on paper. Sometimes we have a lot of really glaring symptoms that don't really pop on paper. So the next step is to really connect those dots and put it together. And then I employ something called restorative rescue strategy, where I help give parents long-term and short-term goals. What can we start to change now? What do we need to do for the long-term in order to really get your child back on track? Because it's not an overnight process. And I think in a society that's like instant gratification, that's what parents are looking for. And so I really have to stress, like, this is a process. It took you so long to get into this position that we need to take this amount of time to get you out of it.
Yeah.
That was my first thought too, is that the medication feels like a quick answer. Mm-hmm. You know, so a lot of times parents might take that hit to be like, well, 50% less symptoms is 50% less. So let's go ahead and take that quick hit. It's not a sustainable model, I would say.
I really don't think it is a sustainable model, because so many parents come to me and they're like, well, it worked for like 6 weeks and then it's not working anymore.
Yeah. And so how do you back, like you said, in a society where we're told the FDA is king, or, you know, all these medications, like, well, of course, this is what we should use because such and such created it, so it must be good for me. All of these things that society builds into our heads as parents, like, oh, but you could fix the problem faster with this pill. How do we educate differently to where when people walk into your office and they are kind of like, wait, you want me to take something that looks kind of like a sugar pill placebo? Like, what is that? Or why are we looking inside of my, but why do you need to know what's in my poop? You know, like, how do you ego death that society builds into these parents? That's a big job.
It is. It's not easy, because that's really what they're looking for. And I have been there. I've worn those shoes. I think so much of it is the education piece, really explaining to them. And that's really that process for me, is really teaching them and explaining to them. And just like I've said to you, like, there's these studies, there's this data, there's this information. And I think that so many parents don't have that. And when we start to share that with them, they're like, oh, well, that totally makes sense. Like, I understand it when you're able to say to me, well, here's this study, here's this information about this, that, or the other thing. But I also really encourage parents to do your due diligence. Ask your physician, hey, can I have that insert that's in that prescription so that I can read it and see what those side effects may or may not be? And I really talk about risk and reward. Like, is it worth the risk? Is it going to give you the reward that you're looking for? Because I feel that the more parents are educated, the better decisions they're going to be able to make for their families.
Absolutely. You have a, I'm sure you have many, but do you have a, no names, obviously, do you have a success story that always comes up? Because I'm sure you've been doing this a while. I know for family work we've done, there's a few that just come to the top every time I think about it. Do you have one that you want to share about just a real triumph?
Yeah, absolutely. So I have a client who came to me. She had been diagnosed at 6 with Tourette's. By the time she was 10, she had 8 or 10 diagnoses from ADHD to OCD, sensory processing. I mean, you name it. She had what I call the laundry list of symptoms. And she was really struggling. She was in a private school for kids with disabilities. She really could not function. Her mom has sent me these before videos, and we've really taken a good look at them. She was 13 when she came to me, and her mom was really honestly desperate. She was like, my daughter came to me. She said, she doesn't want to live this way. She doesn't want to be here anymore. And I am desperate for answers. I'm desperate for solutions. And so we talked about, this is an approach she has never tried. Everybody's really written off her ideas about diet and lifestyle and making these changes. And so we went through the process, and within 4 months, her symptoms were completely gone. And so now it's been...
So- Yeah. 4 months, and this started, so 7 years she was going through this, and in 4 months.
Right. I will say that's not typical. A lot of my clients
do take, but it happens. It does happen, obviously.
It does happen. And now, you know, she will go to her yearly follow-up with her pediatrician, and she'll say, how's your Tourette's? And she goes, well, I don't have that anymore. How's your ADHD? Well, I don't have that anymore. How's your OCD? She goes, I don't have that anymore. All of these things that she had been diagnosed with, she can now say, like, I don't struggle with that. I don't have anxiety. Like, I'm happy. She's joined the rock climbing team. She's going to her dream high school where she got a scholarship for voice. Like, all of these things that I say, she's been able to take center stage in her life again.
That's fantastic.
That's really amazing. How do you communicate with the children? Now, it seems you as a parent communicating to a parent really have that down, but how do parents communicate with their children as they're experiencing this? So just thinking of our six-year-old, like, he knows what an orthopedist is. He knows what, like, he loves going to his therapies and his this and that for his toe walking, but, and he also knows he takes a bunch of vitamins and that helps. And he knows that we try to, it's just little things of communication with the children as to not, you need this because something's wrong with you, but just that communication piece of like, we're going to try to help you feel better. How do you help children navigate feeling better and not feeling inadequate, I guess?
Right. Right. You know, I think it's difficult for the families that come to me because every single one of them has been told, don't talk about tics because it will make them worse. So You have these children who are experiencing these uncontrollable body movements, and nobody's talking to them about what's going on inside their body. Jeez. And I think that's scary. I think that's scary for kids to not have that kind of understanding. So for me, it's about having this open conversation with your kids. Like, there's nothing wrong with you, but I explain it like your car's check engine light. If your car's check engine light is on, you don't just continue to drive it around.
Yep.
Maybe it'll go away. Is really, you know, talking to them.
That's how he operates his car.
Yeah.
He hopes the check-in delay just goes off.
Right. But having that open conversation with them, talking to them, educating them, especially the older kids I work with, we record all of their results. Like, sit down with your kid, really involve them in this process. So to me, it's about having an open conversation. And like your six-year-old, most kids can understand things. Maybe you don't have to explain it just like as an adult. You can explain it on their level, but they have that capacity to be able to understand those things.
Love it. Love it. Well, where can people learn more about what you do? Because I think if someone's struggling with this, they're definitely clinging to something that will work and hasn't as of yet. So where can people learn more about you?
Yeah, you can find me. My website is www.regenerating.health. I'm also on Instagram at Regenerating Health. And then you can also find me on Facebook. I have a private Facebook group called Tic Disorder Secrets, A Natural Approach.
Okay.
That's great. And now, do you see patients in office or do you, what do you?
I am completely virtual.
Are you completely virtual? That's awesome.
I had an office, and during COVID, so many of my clients were like, we don't want to come see you in person. And I got to the point where, why pay rent? So yeah. I am completely virtual. I have clients all over the world at this point. It's awesome. Really been amazing.
That is super cool. And now your book, TikTok, will you just give us a quick I'm sure that our entire podcast has been about
all
of your different pieces, but is there anything additional that you'd like to share with our listeners about your book?
Yeah. So TikTok, it's Common Misconceptions, Natural Solutions, and Real Conversations About Tic Disorder. You can grab it on Amazon. But really, I feel like it's a great starting point for parents because it's a completely different perspective on what they have been told, what they have gone through up to this point. And I feel like I want them to be able to say, here's a really good starting point and a totally different perspective on what we've gone through. And at that point, I have a lot of parents who read it and then they, you know, get on a call with us and talk to us about how they can go through the process themselves.
And I can only imagine as a parent that reaches out to you and is opening this new box of possibility. I know for us, as we learn one new thing about someone in the family, we're like, ooh, well, I wonder what it would say about me. Oh, I wonder what's wrong with you. And then like digging, and that's so much of how our family's health goes because we're very naturopathic and very alternative type healing stuff. And every time we learn one thing, we then think, oh, what else is there to learn? And I just think that parents who read your book on behalf of their own children may end up learning a lot about themselves or their own inflammations or their own stuff that they didn't even realize was not part of a natural functioning body that they could improve on.
Yeah, no, my publisher sent me a voice memo the other day and she goes, I just want to thank you for writing that book. She said, because I have just not been feeling well. And I went to my doctor and I knew exactly what I wanted to ask for. So parents are learning. And once we work with kids, I have so many parents that are like, do me, what do my genetics say? They really want to know.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's so powerful too. Why not go through it together?
Oh, yeah. I've already written 935 biomarkers. I've been stars, circle testing. And I'm like, that's such good stuff. Well, we always ask our final question, if you say it better than I do, but 75-year-old self, you know, we always hear that question of, oh, what would you say to your younger self? But what would your older self say to you, whether it's
or to all of us?
Or to all of us. Yeah. Like a congratulations on what
75-year-old self. What do you think 75? So we're going way down the road. 75-year-old Dr. Gibson.
Advice
what,
for the rest of us.
What do you think she would say to you, to the rest of us?
I think she would say, this, where you ended up was absolutely not where you started out. And you wouldn't have ended up here if you hadn't had an open mind and the ability to learn and change and really look at things from a different lens. Because I didn't start out here. I started out as a fashion designer, but I wanted to help my son. So I definitely feel like 75-year-old me would look back and say, you know, you have the ability to do anything and see things from a whole different lens.
Are you glad you went this route over the fashion route?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And I never imagined that. The joke is like, I went from jeans. I worked for a denim designer. I went from jeans to jeans DNA.
Jeans, yeah.
Yeah. I say like, God said, you need to work in jeans. And I just started off in the wrong.
Spelled it wrong. That's it.
Yeah. It's in the wrong department. Honestly, for me, I worked in the fashion industry for 6 months and I was like, this is the worst job I've ever had in my entire life. I do not want to do this for the rest of my life. And I went around and I did other things. I spent time at the American Red Cross. I did a lot of other stuff. But when my son got sick, like this was the route that I was supposed to be on.
Huge motivator right there. Well, we appreciate you taking that route for the rest of us. And we look forward to learning more. And we'll definitely be having all of your information in our show notes because we want people to be able to reach you.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been great.
Thank you for educating us.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining the 18 Summers podcast and putting your family in priority position. Subscribe and leave a review and help other families just like you.